Well, I'm going to introduce Spencer Reese, but first some brief thank yous are required. Most importantly, to the family of Larry Levis, and especially to his sister Sheila for endowing the Levis Prize in Larry's name. The winner is chosen through a unique competition, chosen from first or second books of poetry published during the previous year. Every year, close to 100 books or more are entered into the competition by their publishers, and many of the books are themselves contest winners, and some of these contests each receive over 1,000 entries. In other words, the prize recognizes a poetry collection of genuine excellence. Thanks are in order to our MFA students in the program who volunteer to screen the collections, and to Gary Sanji and Greg Donovan, our poetry faculty, I was able to work with this year in selecting this year's contest winner. Thanks are also due to Mary Flynn and the Virginia Review for her work each year on the competition, and to the English department's graduate coordinator, Jeff Lodge, whose work is invaluable in bringing this whole thing together. And finally, the MFA program is indebted to Dean Robert Halsworth of the College of Arts and Humanities for his support of the MFA program and his efforts to restore this year's reading budget. This year's reading series is now in place, and we're sponsoring readings by some terrific poets and fiction writers whose work is widely acclaimed. The schedule is available on the English Department website, by the way, and we even have a poster now. After the reading, we have refreshments, and copies of Spencer Reese's collection are going to be on sale, and I'm sure he'll be able to autograph them for you. And now to Spencer Reese. If poetry cannot absolve us, then let's expect mercy from nowhere else. These words are attributed to Constantine Cavafe, a poet many readers, and I count myself among them, regard as one of the handful of truly great poets of the last century. Cavafe came from circumstances that wouldn't seem favorable for making memorable poetry, and he labored in the deepest sort of obscurity. He was a member of the small Greek-speaking community of Alexandria, Egypt, an outsider in a community where almost everyone else spoke Arabic or French or English. An outsider as well because he was a gay man in a culture where being gay was surely imperiling. He died in 1933, and he wrote scarcely more than 100 poems, and few of them were published during his lifetime, save for in small chapbooks he'd mimeograph and staple together and almost clandestinely distribute to his friends. Few people even knew Cavafe was a poet. They knew him instead as a clerk, a city employee who worked in a division called the Third Circle of Irrigation. In other words, he was a clerk in the sewer department. And today his name is mentioned in the company of Yeats, Rilke, Stevens. He's in every respect their peer. If poetry cannot absolve us, then let's not expect mercy from anywhere. When I first read Spencer Reese's astonishing collection, The Clerk's Tale, I was reminded of Cavafe and especially reminded of that quote. It's not only that Reese is also a clerk, fortunately one who works for the firm of Brooks Brothers and not for a sewer department, but it's also that his poems embody that deep-seated faith in the mysterious and redemptive powers of poetry that Cavafe insists upon in his words. Why write poetry unless you feel that it can explain and perhaps even save your life? When you ask that question today, even among poets, you are apt to be seen as a quaint throwback to the Victorian age, some sort of Arnoldian fool. Instead, poets today seem more likely to attend to their careers and to write a sort of self-absorbed but aridly impersonal and largely wise-ass verse, deriving as much from literary theory as from poetic tradition. It's a depressing trend, and thus the appearance of a book like The Clerk's Tale is especially refreshing today. Simply put, The Clerk's Tale reminds us that selves write poems. selves and not cultural force, selves and not what Foucault calls the author function. And the poem reminds us that selves write poems in part because of a yearning that I could only call spiritual and devotional. You see this quality in the book, whether the speaker is evoking the surprising and bittersweet camaraderie of that takes place among the store clerks in the book's title poem, or in poems of personal history that remind me of Robert Lowell, especially the Lowell of Life Studies, for they perform the difficult task of writing of the sorrows of childhood, of mental anguish and breakdown, with a crisp acuity that never devolves to self-pity or solipsism. They are above all precise poems, fluent in their ability to render difficult subject matter and difficult forms such as the ghazal in a manner that seems effortless. But you also understand that the poem's precision and lucidity are arrived at with considerable cost. The writer is suspicious of the easy tour de force, of anything in his writing that could seem like posturing or self-importance. This is all to say that Spencer Rees seems to me the real thing, and he's a writer whose career I plan to follow avidly. It's a pleasure to welcome him here, and as a gift to Spencer, we have for him a print by the esteemed artist David Fried of Larry Levis. Spencer Rees.